And a happy Friday afternoon, everybody. It's here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. We are on a slightly breezy but comfortable day heading into Father's Day weekend with another dad in the studio here, North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist Doug Lear. Happy Father's Day.
Well, happy Father's Day Eve to you as well there, my friend Mick.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
Good to be here. I was out last week, so I missed. What did I miss?
Well, you missed a lot. Yeah, you missed a lot. And that's one of the cool things, as I've mentioned before, is as much as I am so locked into the good old-fashioned, old-school radio, you just click the button and turn it on. There's also that benefit of the podcast of going back and listening to what you missed, or if you heard a little part of something. I was actually driving on Interstate thinking about radios the other week, and you get so used to seeing things. When you see something that kind of adjusts your landscape, I saw it looked like, and I was on Interstate, so I apologize. I was going at least the speed limit.
Okay.
I was going at least this because there was no road construction, and I saw what looked like an old Oliver tractor out with a mower behind it.
Uh-huh.
And open cab, nothing. And I just thought, you know, God bless the man that cuts hay and just, you know, this one.
Old Oliver 77, probably.
Huh? And that, you know what? I'm not as schooled up on it as you, but I was just like, man, just think of the history of that Oliver. And cutting hay. I mean, there's something maybe that doesn't trip as many people's triggers as it used to. But the old Oliver cutting hay out in that was a Saturday afternoon. It was probably like 85, 90 degrees, and you just go, somebody's sweating.
Yeah, and there is aromatherapy shops. One of the more popular aromatherapy scents is new mown hay.
Is it really?
Yeah, honest. So yeah, it is a rejuvenating smell, the smell of new mown hay.
And it really is. And I'm also one of those same people that as my probably secondary connection to the land of not being a direct farmer is grew up through life with hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
Or allergies. And as much as I love seeing the sweet clover and love the cut hay, I also remember
you keep your distance.
I have, and again, you know, you grew up in an era where not everything was treated with a pill, you know, and I don't remember getting allergy medication for a long time.
Well, that probably didn't exist.
It probably didn't exist. I remember like my eyes being swelled up and my runny nose, and you know, you'd put some Visine in there. That really didn't do much other than make Visine some money.
Yeah, well, it didn't even treat the symptoms, much less the cause.
Yeah. Right. But as strange as it sounds, it was like a good feeling. What, you know, when I see the cut hay, I can feel my hay fever flare ups. I'm like, this is the Midwest in June. This is what I just absolutely, as dry as it's been, then to actually see a hay crop out there is kind of like reassuring a little bit as well, Mick.
Yeah, and I believe we'll be a lot of mowing the ditches to get as much forage as possible this year. So
yeah.
All right. Well, new mown hay and pheasants in the ditch. That I've always been fascinated by the fact that pheasants and ducks and even geese, but especially the ducks, will nest right near a roadway.
How about the turtles? I mean, they'll use the roadway.
Yeah.
Snapping turtles, and you can see it from township roads, and you hear more about it like in Minnesota, because maybe there's a little more concern about the painted turtles. People don't seem to be as concerned about, you know, the plight of the snapping turtle, but they'll nest right in that gravel on the side of a road and on the side of a trail. And I'm not an expert on the biology of it, but I'm smart enough to say that it provides what they need. They need a gravelly substrate, and they need it to be kind of on the edge of something that's going to have some kind of green. And then it doesn't even have to be really that close to like a water body, sometimes close to a ditch that might have water. And in years like this, the old snapping turtle might be wrong because that ditch might not have water in it.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of places.
But maybe he nested there last year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. But it's kind of cool to see the productivity that you know, you look at a farmer and a rancher and you go, well, it's just the road ditch. Well, you give people a couple of miles of road ditch in a summer like this, and that's some pretty needed forage. And so the production of the forage for the cattle farmer, the production of pheasant chicks and turtles, and the when you have habitat, when you have grassland, whether it's for your cattle or for upland game, that is priceless. It really is. And so there's no such thing as throwaway. And we see that even more in a drought time of year, where you take a small depression in a field, and that maybe had a little bit of moisture 2 months ago, and well, that's the place that you might get the best crop or the only crop, because it had a little bit of an indentation that had a little bit more moisture this spring. And you, as a farmer and a biologist, as you start to see the value in all different aspects, from the grassland to the farmland and to the wetland that's got a little bit more moisture this year, Mick.
Yeah, and saw a picture on social media the other day on this is where a snowdrift was, and it went to here. And then to the right of there, the crop was croaked, and yet where that snowdrift was all winter, the crop was, well, it wasn't doing great, but it was okay.
And again, you and I mean, like, we live in the reality, and there's a lot of farmers and ranchers and landowners that go back generations. They remember what grandpa did and what dad did and what they're doing. And there's a spot on I-94 near the Emden exit, and there's some shelter belts that are dying out. And I'm explaining to my friends, I'm like, hey, shelter belts don't live forever. And they need to be replaced, or they need not necessarily have to be like taken out right away, but they lose their life over time. And then it comes down to the, you know, similar to what kind of crop you're going to plant. The farmer or the landowner says, is it going to be better for my bottom line to invest in another shelter belt, or is it going to be better for my bottom line to utilize no-till? They make those decisions, but you can see in the wintertime where the shelter belt was and the snowdrifts were, and the snowdrifts kept the snow, and it's not by accident, it's not by sheer luck that there's better crop. Right. Along where that shelter belt was.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, again, we're talking about mowing ditches and shelter belts, all places for wildlife to gather. And right along, the reason I brought up the ducks and pheasants and everything right along the side of the road is the lack of predators on the side of the along heavily traveled. But I guess for the people who are going to be mowing ditches here in the near future, keep an eye out for the nests, huh?
Yeah, and we always put that in in a context. I work for Game and Fish. I have a strong connection to the land through cousins and uncles. And my dad worked for USDA for his career. I used to have a cousin that would give me the rundown of the number of hen ducks that he had mowed over. And it was kind of just a joke. Just like, clipped another one. And he wasn't intentionally trying to do that.
No.
And that's the reality that we understand, is that when it comes to, you know, farmers and ranchers, they enjoy the deer. They enjoy the wildlife. Their livestock is their livelihood. And if they're going to be kept up at night, it's going to be because of a lack of a crop and a lack of a hay. The number of hens that my cousin mowed over didn't keep him up at night.
Yeah.
It actually helped him sleep better when he was knowing that he was getting some hay. So when we are in the discussion of opening up CRP for grazing, opening up CRP for hay, we always understand that, you know, there's a priority list. Our job from Game and Fish is also to make sure that we educate and inform that on a national scale, CRP was not developed by Getchell Township in Barnes County of North Dakota. It's a national program. And it has broad-based support from natural resource agencies because of that value that it has for grassland, for upland game birds, because the production of game birds adds into the number of hunters. So there's a value added that hay crop has for forage for farmers and ranchers, that hay land and that grassland has for ducks and pheasants and deer. And that's why when it comes down to Washington, D.C., where the decisions are being made to support a CRP program with more acres or with higher funding, it has that support from natural resource agencies, from a game and fish department, from the NGOs, whether it's from an Audubon and a Pheasants Forever to a Mule Deer Foundation to a Rocky Mountain Elk to a Ducks Unlimited and all across. And so that's why we have to make sure and stress that we bring to the table our support, and it's because we support the strong grassland for pheasants and for ducks, and that is mutually beneficial to the farmers and the ranchers as well, Mick.
After the drought of the 80s, there was increased interest in CRP. That way, it took maybe 10 years, but we had incredible deer hunting. Then in the mid to latter part of the early 2000s. And then we've gone back to CRP's gone out of favor. And hey, after a year like this, might be more CRP sign-up acres.
Yeah.
And we might see better hunting and fishing coming up here in the next decade or so.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it is one of those mutually beneficial programs. And, it's always a good discussion to have, Mick. It's always a good educational, informational discussion.
Gotcha. All righty. Well, hey, we better take a break, come back, and talk about all the things to do on a Father's Day weekend.
Let's do it, Mick.
All righty. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist on Farm Talk. We'll be right back.